really funny story. Last night we were driving and Crystal goes, oh, that's a cool car. And she's going to go take a picture of it to send to Matt.
In the parking lot. It was like 8 o'clock at night.
So she goes to the parking lot. We pull in and she goes to take, well, no, she goes to the website, finds the car, sends it to Matt. And then we're going to leave. And she's like, this is interesting. She's like, I thought, what did you say?
I said, that's so weird that I took this picture.
And it looks like daytime. Like
it looks like daytime outside. I'm like, oh, that's because I didn't take the picture. I got it off the website. Just reality, right?
Yes.
Just reality.
Yes.
So we all are a hot mess. We're all space-headed every once in a while. And if you act like you're not, you're lying.
Yes.
Because we all are.
We all are.
I caught myself very quickly, though, Victoria.
So we're going to start a series. It's going to be a 5-week series of lies that have to do with options. So basically saying, like, blank is optional because X, Y, Z, whatever it is.
The lie is, I don't need to go to church. The lie that was written was actually, I don't need to be a member of a church. And so we obviously think it's a lie or we wouldn't have chose it, but, the last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about what it was like to be a member of the church, being a member of the body of Christ,
being so, a part
of the church. Yeah. So we already, spoiler alert, already laid a foundational truth for being the body of Christ that we all function with different gifts as the body to bring glory to God, to help Jesus make sense to people, to the world, the people that don't know him, right? So obviously, you know, there's purpose in the church because we are the church. And so without the body, there is no church. So to be clarifying, this question's more about a physical building, not it's how it was stated is like, I can be a believer and not be a member of a church. We're gonna say that that's a lie,
but we're gonna handle it
very carefully because biblically speaking, there's nowhere in the Word of God that talks about church membership. So we don't want to get caught up on that, because I know that, I know all the value that comes with that. So I also don't want to, not emphasize the importance of belonging to a church. But at the same time, we have not yet, so we're not going to start now, dying on any hills that aren't biblical. And there is not a place in the Bible that specifically commands us to be a member of a local church.
Or to even, like, attend.
Yes,
so
correct.
So we're just going to talk about it from the stance of basically our experience and the benefit that we have experienced from being a part of the local church.
Right.
Church is optional as a believer. 3, 2, 1, go. What do you think?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with the statement because I think when you look at the book of Acts, when you look at the New Testament church, okay, you can't make a whole lot of sense of it privately alone without being part of the body of Christ, because the whole basis of the church is selling their possessions, giving to each other, literally laying down their life for one another. The other thing that I can't help but think about is Matt just preached on this story in Acts 8 about Philip and the eunuch, right? Like, you can't evangelize, spread the word of God. You can't let people know about Jesus if you're not doing life with other people, if you're not getting in chariots. So what the reason why all that church, the church, the early church makes sense is because you're doing life with other people. So other people, Philip helped the scripture make sense to the eunuch, right? So in the church, we help each other understand the word of God. We encourage one another. We spur one another forward, right? In the word of God. And so through the church, through the body of Christ working together as the church, we are able to be a stronger force, right, mm-hmm. for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. And so we go to church to have a better understanding of God's word and who he is, right? But also to have an opportunity to use our gifts and talents that he's given us to serve the kingdom. And we help one another in the church, mm-hmm. you know, by carrying one another's burdens, by, you know, helping where there's needs.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the place where our faith gets skin on it, you know, like we get to walk through life with one another. So that's my
your take on it.
Well, that's my personal take on it. Right? Now I have some scripture and some thoughts, but that's just kind of where I'm at. Where are you at with it?
So I am with you on that. I have experienced with going to a local church and being a part of it, being a part of like a family. And being a part of something where we're working together, like you said,
mm-hmm.
Like discipleship, learning to know Jesus more, and then being in a position where I can also be like poured into, but then also pour into other people and see them grow up and loving Jesus. Also just having people, like I think you mentioned this, to fight with you for things or against
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
I think that if you're not a part of a local church, a lot of times you could feel isolated, because I would feel that way if I didn't have people around me to help fight with things yeah. or for things. So yeah, just like the sense of having a family and community around you
mm-hmm.
to be there with you. I know you mentioned this earlier, but Acts 2, starting in verse 45, says this. It's all about the early church and when the church started, but it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly the verse I was talking yeah. about. Yeah. So without that, how, if you're not plugged in, if you're not part of that, then how does any of that come to life or be real? You yeah. know?
And like that right there sounds like a family. It's like you're a part of yeah. a family who cares for you, is taking care of you. You're taking care of others, like investing in your spiritual health, and then you're investing in others. And so not like right there, he doesn't say you need to be a part of this, but also why wouldn't you want to be a part yeah. of that?
Nor does God speak like that. Right. So like, again, this could sound very different if we don't have a true reality of who God is, right? Mm. So God doesn't speak with a wagging finger. Mm. He speaks like a loving father. And so he gives us instruction, and there's things that we get to obey in because of our relationship with him, because he knows that's what's best for our relationship with him. So it's not like it all depends on, I think, how you read the Ten Commandments, for instance. Thou shalt not lie, you know, like, mm-hmm. or you're going to be struck down, right? Or, hey, probably not a good idea that you lie, you yeah, know?
Because we've all lied and we've seen the consequences yeah, of
because
that.
Because I love you and I know what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, go to church and make sure that you have your three-piece suit on and, you mm-hmm. know, do this, and this is why.
Yeah.
Versus like, I love you, daughter, and I want to be in relationship with you.
So come as you
so
are.
I give you this gift.
Yeah.
Come as you are. I give you this gift.
Mm-hmm. Be a part of the family.
To be a part of the family. Such a different way to look at church, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have a whole different situation since COVID as the church, because everyone went online.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we have that option, but that is not the church.
Because what Acts 2 right here is talking about is not...
It can't be online. It just, like, it can't.
Yeah, learning things and watching videos and that, all that is amazing.
It's a good option.
To keep up with, like, yeah, I want to know what's going on at my church, if I'm sick yeah. or whatever. But that is not the same thing as living in community.
It is not.
The other thing, I think that is a whole other conversation, but is making sure that you have a healthy view of the church. Because if you've been in a bad situation before or gone to a church that didn't represent Jesus very well, then of course, like, you wouldn't want to be a part of that, and I wouldn't either. So making sure that you have a healthy view of what Jesus intends the church to be.
Yeah, if you've been hurt by the church, and it's people that your lenses are through and not Jesus and God's design for the church, then you may not go back to church, you know? Or the opposite, Victoria. You may go to church for the wrong reasons because you want to please people. That's not why God gave us the gift of the church or the purpose of the church. So I think you nailed it in Acts to talk about what the design and the original purpose is, right? Then in Matthew 16, 18, it says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You talked about fighting together.
Yeah.
I think that we fight the enemy with the truth of God, right? And this verse tells us that as we the people build the church of God on truth, Satan can never prevail against it. So again, it's a good gift given by God to be a member of the greater church of Jesus, right? And in our life, the way it looks like in America here is there's little churches, right? Little denominations, little churches that are part of that bigger church. And we get to do that. We get to belong to the body by belonging to a local church. And we get to enjoy the benefits of one another's gifts.
Yeah.
As we join the church.
Super good.
So it's absolutely a lie that you don't need to be part of a church, because there's nothing in the Bible that would tell us that's true. Now, specifically speaking, there's not like this manual for church membership or how it should be. And so we got to be careful there, but there is no gray area on God's design for the church and what that is supposed to look like.
And when you think of like God talking about spiritual warfare, when you think of him talking about like three cords are not easily broken, like those type of things, I think of the church as well, because he's putting believers together who can fight with each other against the enemy. So being in battle together, if you're isolated and you're not living in that community to be able to fight together against the enemy, then you're one strand.
That's right.
Of the cord, and you can fall prey to the enemy's attacks easier. So
I think we need to take a note of this, and we got to dig a little bit deeper into this, but I do want to at least touch on this because we would not be, I don't think we'd be handling the word of God real well without including this part of the discussion. In Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, there is the truth that as we partake in the Lord's Supper, as we do communion, we're to do that together. As we're baptized, we are to do that together. Like there are certain parts of our walk with Christ that we aren't meant to do alone. And so, yeah, during COVID, that sufficed, right? Like, because that's what we had. But as a whole, as we did what we can to love others well, right? As the church, and we got it wrong sometimes, and sometimes we got it right. But the core truth of that is that there's certain things in our walk and our relationship with God that we get to do, like communion, baptisms, that we aren't meant to do alone. And it is in 1 Corinthians, one of the verses I'm thinking of is 1 Corinthians 10:17, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." And right above that, you have to read that verse to know that it's talking about communion, okay? "The cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ." It's a question. "The bread that we break is not a participation in the body of Christ?" Question mark. So it's very clear that as that act of communion, wait a second, don't forget, we're doing that as an act of being a body of Christ. Right?
It's not just a singular thing that you do by yourself.
It's not just something to be done alone. And then it talks about in 1 Corinthians 11:17, And then again in 12:13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit. Mm-hmm. So there's this reality that as the body of Christ together, we do these things. I think that's a whole other discussion.
That's really cool.
But I think it's a reality to know that, like, again, it's our heart posture as to the why. Mm-hmm. Why do we, as believers, want to be part of a local church? Because it's the local church is part of the bigger church.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all one body.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's allowed us this gift to navigate this temporary place to help evangelize and spread the gospel.
And there's things that the church has or that you can be a part of that isn't other places or by yourself.
So we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the building. We're not changing our stance on that. But there is the truth about Acts not making a whole lot of sense and parts of the Bible not making a whole lot of sense without being involved in the body, the local, the church that is plugged into the greater church.
Yeah, and whether that be in a school, in the church building, like wherever that church is meeting.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be in that building.
Yeah.
It's just the people.
It's the gathering of the people. Yep.
Your turn to pray.
I knew you were going to say that.
It is.
All right. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to look at the purpose of your church, Lord. There's so much there, and I wish that we could spend more time on it. But I pray today, Lord, that we just have an understanding of your heart in such a way that you give us the church as a way to allow people to know you. And it's a gift to us as the body of believers that we get to do church together. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone that's listening that isn't plugged into a local church or that has more questions about it or have experienced church hurt, Lord, that they'd be willing to maybe have a conversation, starting first and foremost with you, Lord, and then maybe as somebody that can help them navigate these hard things. So we love you, Lord. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.